Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In your Son that you sent for us, we can be redeemed, restored. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray and we believe. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We could be seated. Well, you could be seated. I'm not taking a seat. What am I thinking? Worship team, thank you. You guys are wonderful. As always, super talented and gifted. But I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things is when Joe Euchre leads a song. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it might have been that mission trip we went on, and that was the first time I got to see you lead worship, but man, I love it so much. Not taken away from the rest of the team. I'm just saying a little special shout out to Joe. He's my guy. I asked for forgiveness, Joe. I deceived you earlier in my dad's office. I held up my hand to shake his hand, and I quickly pulled him and tried to take his back. He wrestled at Iowa, so I was trying to... And then he quickly turned that around on me, and I said, I was just kidding. And then he looked at me and said, that would be fun sometime. I said, oh, really? For who? Okay, for who? Maybe next Speed the Light event. There we go. No, I'm just kidding. We'll make Brendan do it. Yeah, Brendan would love to do that. Me, however, I might snap in half. But anyway, Associate Pastor Brock Williamson, glad to be preaching this morning and sharing with you. The message this morning is, however, a little bit more of a teaching, but I think it's something that is very important for every believer to know and to practice. And maybe there's some things in this that you are ignorant of, and so in your life, as you've lived it, you've been able to plead ignorance. But now I'm going to reveal to you the truth. And so now we will be without excuse as we hear this and how we're supposed to live our life. This is a very practical message, though there will be spiritual comparisons and relations in this. This is a very practical message because it has to do with relationships. And no, not romantic, though it could apply to romantic relationships, but relationships, friendships, familyships, all the things, okay? You didn't know, family ships is not a word. But there's going to be a lot of that probably this morning, actually. Who knows? But you've heard the verse, and if you haven't, you've probably heard the quip of bad company corrupts good character. Now, this is found in Scripture, but the world has taken this and has seen this and used it, right? And when bad company corrupts good character. So when we look at that verse and understanding what it is, that your good character, what is good within you, that can only come from the Father, but what is good within you as a believer, as a Christian, as somebody striving to grow in their relationship with God, right? The only way that you believe this verse is if you have the same goal and trajectory in mind, which is to become more like Christ, to become who God has called you to become. If that is not your goal as a Christian, this message is going to offend you, and it's not going to make sense to you. But when we look at our calling as a Christian, it is to become more like Christ, to be in relationship with Him. And in that relationship, I am becoming who He has called me to become. So understand, that is the goal of a Christian. If that is not your goal, you're wrong. Okay, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's call it what it is. It's not right. You have allowed your pride of life to come out. Okay? So, with that being said, the bad company that corrupts good character that only comes from following God's word and understanding what it says and drawing closer to Him, understanding that there are people, there are relationships that will harm this. And I'm going to go over some of the excuses we use and how we have none. I'm going to go over the relationships that we have and what this looks like. Starting with Proverbs, I'm going to be jumping through a lot of different scriptures this morning. So if you don't follow along all the way, just watch the recording, all right? But in Proverbs 6, 12 through 15, a troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So let this play into what is a person who does these things. It gives us a warning of what this person does, what the signals are. And it also tells us that the justice will be served, not according to you, but to somebody else. Because there's twofold, two things that happen when we are in relationship with somebody of bad company, of this bad character. We oftentimes will want to save them, or we will want to expose them. And there's a place in Scripture that talks about exposing bad works, but we need to understand the context of that. But this understanding that it is not our job to seek the vengeance that is the Lord's. It is not our job, because then we are the ones stirring up the conflict. Conflict does not need to be had. If I'm offended and they're the offender, there doesn't always need to be a conflict within that. Also in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Also in Proverbs 22:24-25, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Are we seeing the pattern? These verses are telling us about what these people look like, attributes of these people, but it is also now creeping into how we handle these things. It's telling us not to be around someone of that nature, because we can become more like them. Again, resembling the bad company corrupts good character. So within this, we need to look at what the word says about our response to people that have these characteristics. 2 Timothy 1:17, a little bit of a longer portion. But again, it's going to go through some of the things of a person that we are on the lookout for. If you so will, a toxic person. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Then it says right there, avoid such people. Doesn't say save such people. It doesn't say attack such people. It says to avoid such people. Well, what about, we're not supposed to judge people. We're not supposed to judge people. That's not right. But if we understand that we are not to judge those who are, or we're not supposed to judge in the way that we judge somebody's heart and mind that only God and the person knows, and whether they go to heaven or hell, but we are instructed in Scripture to judge a tree by its fruit, to look at what is good and bad fruit that comes from somebody. Why? Because we need to protect ourselves. Why else would we be instructed to avoid such people so that we do not become like them? Because remember, the ultimate goal is to become more like Christ and to become who God has called us to be. And if Scripture's clear about if I hang out with people who do not have that same goal, that do not live that life, I will become more like them. We are doing the opposite of what we are supposed to be doing. You are called into relationship with Christ, not everyone you meet. Psalm 101, 3 through 7. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. We'll invite them in so that they can be saved. No, I will not tolerate, and I will not have them in my house. This is what is written. This is what's talked about. Because I've used this phrase before in a little bit of a different context, but the principle applies. Your soul is more important than the ministry. Yes, we want to save people, but at what cost? Do not conform to the patterns of this world. You conform to the patterns of this world by hanging out with these people. It's very clear. Bad company corrupts good character. Except for when... No. There's no except. There's no but. It's bad company corrupts good character. And Scripture is clear about avoiding such people who do these things that we have listed. Titus 3:10, for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once, then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Romans 16:17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Speaking on the case of who to judge, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. This message is not talking about having no grace. It's talking about what Scripture teaches us to avoid, and that includes these fruits from people. But there is room for forgiveness because we're commanded to forgive. But when we look at the Greek, when we look in the New Testament of forgiveness and what that means, canceling a debt is the equivalent of forgiveness. This is done by the offended, but it is not a change of relationship. Why? Some of you already know this. You've been hurt by someone. You've forgiven them, but they did nothing in return. It's forgiveness. There's grace in that. And how much are we supposed to forgive? We're never supposed to stop forgiving. But understand, in scriptural context, in the Greek, forgiveness and the command to forgive is not a change of relationship. What I'm telling you is this: someone wrongs you, you can forgive them and not have relationship. Why? Because to restore a relationship is a different word. It is reconciliation. It is a deeper form of forgiveness where the offendee goes to the offender and says, you've done this to me. I want to forgive you. And they say, I am sorry. I will change my behavior. Change. I recognize what I did was wrong and I will change it. And so they do. And now the relationship is restored and I can go on with them as a friend. See, reconciliation is deeper than just forgiveness. We are commanded to forgive, but that does not mean we stay in relationship with. See, I can come to God and I can ask forgiveness of my sins and he can forgive those sins, but then if I go on with an unrepentant heart and I continue on in my sin, he forgave those sins, but it does not reconcile me to him. And that is why, even though I cry to him and say, forgive me, Father, but then I run on living a sinless life, in the end, he will not know me. Why? It only comes from a repentant heart, a repentant heart, a reconciled heart with God. See, there is a spiritual tie to this. We can look at our relationship with the Father and see where we have gone wrong. We may have asked for forgiveness, but did we reconcile with the Father so that we can be in relationship, the relationship restored? Just because he forgives me doesn't mean the relationship is restored. I am required to change, to be different. And guess what? Our relationships with people are instructed to us to be the same. We show grace, we show mercy, we forgive when we've been offended, but it does not mean that my relationship with a toxic person is restored unless they recognize it and they change and they work to change and they recognize the need to change. Otherwise, someone, as we've listed throughout many of these scriptures, right? Listed throughout many of these scriptures where it talks about all the different attributes of what is a toxic, lawless person. If we bring that to them and we say, you did this and I forgive you, and they say, well, I don't see the problem, then you can forgive and walk away and you are justified by scripture. Well, Jesus ate with sinners. Yes, he was Jesus. It doesn't mean you can't be around sinners, but relationship is different than being around. Relationship is a two-way street. Relationship is I receive and I give. And this is where we need to be careful. The conforming to the pattern of this world does not take much. And we who are weak in flesh hang out with this world, we'll be led astray. It's our struggle. It's a fight. It doesn't mean we never go to the marketplace and we never go into this world and we hide within the church. It's not what I'm talking about. Yes, we are a witness and a gospel. If I see somebody who is unsaved and they are a lech and I'm going to reach out to them to preach the gospel, absolutely. But we need to be discerning and understanding that our household is not to carry and to hold people who are toxic in this relationship we have with God. This is a hard message to hear, and it's a hard message to put into practice. Because it almost seems a paradox to have grace and mercy for somebody, but also to cast them out. Again, that is the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. We can forgive. Boss Man preached a message once a long time ago, and he used the example of, I put my hand to go pet a dog, and the dog bites me. I can forgive the dog and understand that was a natural reaction for its nature and who it is, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go pet the dog again unless the dog opened its mouth and said, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. See, forgiveness to cancel debts. I can go to a restaurant, I can go to a place of business, and I can buy something on loan. The experience is terrible and it's awful, and they forgive. You've been to a restaurant, they mess up the meal, and so they try to pay for the meal so you don't have to pay for it, right? Oh, appreciate that. The debt is canceled. It's been forgiven, but I don't go to that restaurant again. You see, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, and understand this, that in our relationship with people around us, we need to be careful and we need to avoid what God has instructed us to avoid. And just in time for the holidays, right? Because this message doesn't just apply to friendships, it applies to family. See, that's one of the number one excuses for tolerating toxic behavior. To quote a very famous pastor, he says, there are things we tolerate from family that we would never once tolerate from strangers. See, it's hard and it's difficult, but there's a reason why there's a scripture verse that talks about he came to bring the sword and the division, right? That you're the scripture verse, I believe it's in Matthew, and it talks about and it says how the enemy will be in your own household. Come and bring mother against daughter and father against son. Why? He didn't come just so to force division. He knew that when he is in one person's life and another person is not living that life, there will be division. He knew. And so it is written. And why? Because he understood the family. Forget that word, okay. The family obligations. He understood the family ties. A lot of you get this. Why? Because your family hosts something or says something or does something, your family group texts it, da da da, and then guess what you do? You go to your spouse or you go to another person in the family and you complain, and say all these bold things. But then you go to the group text and you reply with, yeah, we'll see you there. Oh, come on. You see? Because that's the familial obligation we feel. I almost got it that time. There's a tie. It's the Italian in me. Yeah. There's this tie between family, this bond that we feel to family. And that could be a good thing and a healthy thing, and it brings us closer together. But again, Scripture's clear that our relationship with Him and the protection of that relationship is the most important thing. That if we are not received in a household, we are to shake off the dust from it and leave. Scripture's clear. To forgive, to provide second chances? Yes. But to understand, reconciliation is necessary for the association of a Christian with somebody who does not live it and encourage your walk. And when that has happened, then it could be restored. But until then, you have an obligation to the Lord because He has called you sons and daughters. You are in a new family. Why did generational curses linger and hang on? Because one was never so bold to do what Scripture commanded of them, to protect not just themselves but their family, to avoid, to if my left hand causes me to sin, to cut it off. You need to be so bold. Understanding the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, but we are without excuse in who we associate with, closely associate with. Again, this is not an excuse. This is not an excuse to go hide in your house and never talk to anybody and live in a bubble. No, we are to reach the lost. But there is a way to go about that isn't living the life with them. There's a way to go about that without letting them affect you and putting yourself in that position to be led astray. Because Scripture is clear on who we are to avoid, and especially within our own church body and in this room. You look at the fruit, those that cause division, it follows them. Pastor preaches a message for however many years we've been here now, I don't even know. And then they start stirring up something and saying something contrary to what God's word says. And it starts to create division, and it starts to create something, conflict. Even within these walls, do not associate. This is not an easy message. This is not an easy thing to carry out, though it's simple. It has intricacies and details to it that you can look throughout Scripture. But when we dive into what His Word says, we need to understand that the protection of our relationship with God and living according to His Word and living to glorify Him, becoming more like Him, and becoming who God has called us to be, there is no excuse for letting someone, family, friend, you owe them, they saved your life, whatever it may be, there is no excuse. You are without excuse to still remain in association and deep relationship with somebody who does not encourage those things, but rather has the attributes of what Scripture is littered with to avoid. The prodigal son. He saw it his own way. He went his own way. But then, when he came back, it was true reconciling. Why was the father able to open his arms and receive him right away? Because the father already forgave him. It didn't mean they were reconciled. They were reconciled in the moment where the prodigal son returned and changed. Change is required in a relationship that has been broken and abused for it to be reconciled and restored. Change is not required for you to forgive. In the same way, our relationship with the Father, if I repent, that requires change. If all I do is confess my sins and want forgiveness, He'll do that. But it does not mean my relationship with Him is restored. That requires change. So take a deep look at your life, the people around you. There's one thing that I've always appreciated from the wise counsel of my father, that there was a time in my life where, being very opinionated, still am, but this is where the advice came in, you don't need to talk about all your opinions. You don't need to talk about, even if you think you're right and you're hearing somebody say something that contradicts what you know is right, it doesn't mean, and I'm not talking about everything Christian, I'm talking about just random things in the world, sports, politics, whatever, okay? And they're wrong and you're right, whatever. You don't got to voice all that. You don't got to say all that. I said, but Dad, they're dumb. They just, remember I was young and I used words that I probably shouldn't. Posting on Facebook all the time, my opinions. Then you wonder why the comment section blows up and people are offended and this and that, da 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 da. See, I was somebody who was causing division because of my lack of ability to shut my trap. And the wise counsel of my father was, you don't need to share everything in your brain. And when I learned that and I practiced it, I noticed a lot less people were offended by silly things. Silly things. It was interesting. But within that, I want to give you wise counsel that if there's somebody in your life that needs to be removed or the relationship needs to be cut and severed, you can forgive. You can voice that forgiveness even. But you don't need to make a grandstanding moment of letting them know. You are never welcome in this home again because you have offended me and refused to change. You don't need to do that. You're creating conflict. If you're in relationship with somebody and you need to let them know, don't let them know from the perspective of, you've offended me. No, let them know, hey, as your brother or sister in Christ, I see that you are not living according to his word. If you feel necessary to bring that up, go ahead. Bring it up and tell them that they're breaking God's word, not your word. And you can approach it from that perspective. This is just practical advice. But other than that, you don't need some grandiose moment of announcing the severing of a relationship. Please sign the contract. No. You quietly make your leave. And none of it affects the way I treat them. If it affects the way I treat them, then I question the actual forgiveness. To forgive somebody, to cancel the debt, I'm not going to treat them like they owe me anything. I'm going to treat them with love, grace, and mercy, and I'm going to treat them uprightly. Because that is the way that his word has instructed us, to live at peace with all if we can. So I'm going to make peace, even if they don't change. But that peace will be, I forgive you, but I am going to take my leave. So understand this. Be bold and courageous to stand up for your faith and cut the toxic people out. Don't be afraid to reconcile either. Provide the opportunity for someone to change. It is a rule in my house that me and my wife have for one another. We like to do something called fortune telling, not the actual witchcraft. Hold on. That came out very bad. Sorry, fortune telling is a popular phrase in the psychological department, okay, where somebody takes your past behavior and they try to forecast what you'll do because of your past behavior. And the therapy term is fortune telling. It's not actual fortune telling. Hold on. Don't cut that, clip it out of context. We like to do that in our relationship. Well, every time I bring this up to you, Brock, you get very upset and very angry and then the conversation and it starts an argument. So I just am not going to bring it up. I'm just going to do it myself. Do you get the example? Okay. We have a rule, though, after so many disagreements about that we will never use somebody's past behavior to forecast their future. We will always give an opportunity to change. Why? Because can't really cut ties with my spouse. That's one toxic relationship that survived. No, I'm just kidding. It's not toxic. I'm just kidding. I'm joking around. But no, it's one that you got to provide the opportunity for and you grow together, okay, to prevent it from getting toxic. But we have that rule for one another that I'm not going to assume her future. I'm going to give her opportunity to change and not just change whimsically. No, because we've talked about it before. I would like you to do this in this scenario. So when that scenario comes up again, it's not like I'm hoping she changes and I hope she read my mind. That's usually vice versa. But, no, I'm just kidding. But no, it's been communicated, it's been talked about. Just like in the relationship, I communicated to this person that maybe they offended me or the behavior that needs to change, and I provide them an opportunity to do so. And if they do not change it and that doesn't change and that doesn't make a difference, then I can forgive and I can remove as according to Scripture. So let us be bold to practice that, because this is where this principle, this teaching, is where generational curses will end. This is where you will stop finding your life falling apart. Why? Because the wise with the wise, good. A person hangs out with a fool, it says, they'll see the destruction of their life. They'll see what happens. So let us associate and build relationship with the wise and with the people that we are told to do so with, according to his word. Let us not associate with bad company. Let us either seek to reconcile or to forgive and remove. Stand up with me all over this room. I'm sure this is not a fun message to hear. Why am I sure? Because it's not a fun message to preach. But it's something that the Lord drew to me, and understanding that this is something that a lot of people struggle with. I'm supposed to reach the lost, but I keep getting affected and torn down in the process. And how am I supposed to do this? Well, now you understand. Now you no longer have ignorance of the balance of relationships, what reaching the lost actually means, and preaching the gospel, but what it is to protect your household and how to deal with toxic people. Because there's a trap of the enemy in this. There's a trap of the enemy in this. And what happens when we can remove somebody from our life, they can manipulate and turn it around that you're doing this. Why are you choosing to do this? Why are you choosing to cut me off? Why are you making... I want you to know something. Be free from the accusation, because they chose it by the way they act. They chose it by what they did, and they had every opportunity and every truth spoken, as long as they have, actually, truth spoken to them to change. It is not up to you to force the change. It's up to you to give opportunity to change. But from there, your only responsibility is to protect your relationship with the Lord.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.